Today we're going to read Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 42. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and all his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with a guard standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at the loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Then apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witness of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to listen to your word as we're going to hear. Lord, we are depending on you. Not only listen to your word, help us to apply in our lives and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let me ask you a question. It may be something you may not be comfortable with, but please give me an excuse if you are not comfortable with. What makes you jealous? What makes you jealous? I know as a Christian, we shouldn't be jealousy, but sometime in our human nature, we are sometimes jealous about something. So what makes you jealous? You may be thinking, you may be saying many situations that might have brought you in that feeling of jealous. Children might say, I couldn't get higher marks or grade, that's why I'm jealous. Someone might say, I couldn't be successful in the interview, someone got the job, I'm jealous. Someone might say, I couldn't get better house, but look, that's why I'm jealous. You can say like that, many things. Or sometimes you may say, women, nope, I never get jealousy. Fine, that's okay. But in this chapter, if you look at verse 17, the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. That's the way Luke has written this book. Chapter 7, verse 17, starting that. They were filled with jealousy. Why? The high priest, they and his associates, and they all party of Sadducees. Who are the party of Sadducees? What they believe? They don't believe in spirit or angels or any resurrection of the dead. So they all filled with jealousy. Why? They all well educated, they knew about the laws, but they all filled with jealousy. Why? Because they can't bear what these apostles were doing. They were preaching about Jesus. They were doing lots of miracles there, and they were establishing that churches. If you look at verse 12 in that same chapter, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. In the previous chapter, in chapter 4, so we can read that people heard that message and saved 5,000. In chapter 2, people heard that message, then they came to Christ, 3,000. So they cannot bear that news. In Jerusalem is filled with the name of Jesus. People are hearing. That's why they are filled with jealousy. So because of jealousy, what they did, they put them in jail. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail before hearing from the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is like the powerful court, like a supreme court in Jewish time. What happened during the night? An angel appeared, and the Lord opened the doors of jail and brought them out. So the God's angel appeared and opened the door. So what we are told in the scripture about God's angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So that night, something extraordinary things happened to open the door, release the apostles, and shut the door back so the guards won't notice, so they will think they are still inside. What angel said in verse 20? Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Where did they go, the apostles? They are at the temple courts. But you and me, what we would have done we would have ran away from the jail once the door is opened. We wouldn't stay somewhere close by because we don't want to be caught by the officials. But they were so boldly, they are standing at the temple courts, and what they did, they began to teach. So in this passage, we're going to learn three things. The first one, as Christians, we will share our faith. We will share our faith. Look at verse 21. At daybreak, they entered the temple court as they had been told and began to teach the people. There is no word mentioned faith here. So what is our faith? Well, that our faith comes from. Our faith comes from the Word of God. They preach the Word of God. What is the Word of God is doing that changes people's life and giving new life? What happened? They were preaching there at the temple court at daybreak, and the officials looking at the jail, no one is there, and someone is coming back and saying, look what they are doing. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. They are teaching the people about God's word, about their faith. Our faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by word of God. So we heard that Jesus saves. We just sang Jesus saves. So from the Bible, the word of God spoke to us, changed our lives. That's the new life. The angel said, go and tell the people the full message of this new life. What scripture saying? If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We all have new life in Christ. The word is changing us because the word is powerful. Sometimes we don't realize that, how much the word can do. Sometimes we say from our mouth, what word we saying might change someone's life. No, the word of God. Look what word of God is doing. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The hearts needs to be changed. Their attitude needs to be changed. It can only be done by preaching the word of God. That's all they were doing at the daybreak. They were teaching God's word. They did not preach about the life of this world. They preached the eternal life, where you can have the relationship with God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, reminds us, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's why the words are written for us, that you may have you may know that you have eternal life. So how do I know? How do you know you have eternal life? Because you believe in the name of the Son of God. That's the one they were preaching there at the daybreak. So we as Christians, we will share our faith boldly. The second point we are learning here, as Christians, we will obey God rather than man. Look, verse 29. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. But before that, if you look at it, so what happened? So they were preaching, then they brought back the apostles before the Sanhedrin. And they questioned. What they're asking the question, the first question, we gave you strict orders not to preach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Because it's a high but powerful but court said, don't preach that name. Strictly we ordered, but you still filling this Jerusalem by God's word. Strict orders. But look, these people, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't mention the name of Jesus. Look what they're saying. Orders not to teach in this name. And keep on saying that. You make us guilty of this man's blood. Even they don't want to say. Who? That man. Jesus. His blood. Without shedding of his blood, there's no salvation, the scripture says. But they brought Peter and the apostles before Sanhedrin. They were preaching to them. What they're saying in their preaching, look, you put them in, you had killed him to his own right hand as, sorry, verse 30, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins. So you killed God of forefathers. Forefathers. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. So they knew that who are our forefathers. But you had killed. But God raised as Prince and Savior. So they are quoting Isaiah back there. He will be called Wonderful Savior, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So they are quoting Old Testament scriptures to them. So you knew that. But still, what they didn't realize that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. God raised Jesus. So they should know that. So for us, God raised Jesus so that we can be boldly say that we are having that relationship with God because we put our faith in him. We must obey God rather than men. Yes, God has given the authorities, we should obey. But sometimes the authorities tell us not to preach, not to share God's word. But in that circumstances, whom are we going to please? Are we going to please men or authority or God? It's quite hard, it's quite difficult, but they're so determined we must obey God. Because we have heard that the power changing people's life, the new life, can only be found in Jesus. So that's why we are called to proclaim the good news. So we will obey God rather than man. Sorry, I put my sheets in the different orders. Fine. So the people said here, the apostles, we are the witness of these things. We are the witness because they seen, heard, and touched the risen Lord. Today, you and me are witnesses of the risen Lord Jesus, because we have received that salvation. So we have read God's word, the people whom that they have seen. You know, in the chapter 2, when Peter preached, people heard the message, what they asked. Brothers, what shall we do? What Peter said. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the forgiveness of your sins, where will you get the forgiveness of your sins? Only through Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name given to be forgiven. So today, if you are not a Christian yet, if you are not a believer yet, God is telling you, repent. Jesus Christ is the forgiver of your sins. Not no one. Anyone can give you. Repent. That's why they said before the Sanhedrin, you need to repent. You all knew about the laws, but you don't have salvation. You don't have relationship with God. You all talk about the laws and the rules, but no, not about the salvation. So what will happen when you share your faith with others? Two things. Either they can accept what you shared or reject. That's all they can do. Accept or reject. But clearly, they rejected. They refused it. That's why in verse 33, you see that when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. They were furious. Sometime you may have that experience when you share about your faith with your friends or colleagues or your neighbors, relatives. What they do, they will sometime refuse. Doesn't matter. Whom they are refusing? God's word, not you. Sometime we take it offended. Oh, I keep on asking, I keep on saying. Yes, sometimes our relationships, our friendship might be affected or a bit distanced. Doesn't matter, because I am telling God's word. I'm not telling my words. Then you might reject me. But if you reject God's word, we're going to see in the next verses. They are rejecting. So they were so furious and they wanted to put jail. My final point, as Christians, we will rejoice in suffering. As Christians, we will rejoice in suffering. Look at verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. So what happened before that? So in the Sanhedrin, they were so furious, they felt that we are at loss. Then someone stood up. That name is Gamaliel, the teacher of the law. He's full of knowledge about the laws and regulations and the rules. He stood up and he wisely said, calm down. Don't think about putting them in jail. That is not the right thing to do. And he is telling some history. What's the history he's telling about? Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed. And it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in that days of census and led a band of people, of the people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I'd advise you, what the advice? Verse 38 saying, leave these men alone, let them go. Imagine, they are front of Sanhedrin, the court. The Gamaliel standing up and saying, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. Brothers and sisters, when we share God's word, it is from God. It is not man's idea. That's why he's saying here, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. When you go out and share your faith, share God's word, don't worry. They are fighting against God, not fighting against you. So what happened? Then the high priest and the chief priest, they agreed, okay, we'll listen. But we won't release them softly. What we will do, what they did. Look, verse 40. They called the apostles in and had them flogged, beaten. That's the first time we hear the persecution started. Before, in that four chapters, no. They were beaten and flogged. So one of the commentaries saying that they would have been whipped 39 times. Why? Because they preached. The Open Doors in UK publishes monthly or bi-monthly magazines. So when I checked yesterday, the statistics showing in their website that 4,761 Christians were killed last year because of their faith. And many pastors' houses were damaged, and believers' properties. And you may have heard that in Africa, the kidnapping, murdering. People are still in the jail to be questioned. Why? Because they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the top 50 countries in the world, the Open Doors put North Korea is the first place to be, the hardest place to be Christian. And the second, Afghanistan, and third, Somalia. Yes, we may have not been experienced that extent, but you may have experienced that. Ridiculed, or mocked, or slandered, or rejected. What Jesus said, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. Do not be afraid. In this world, yes, people can kill our body, but not my eternal life. My life to this world, nothing. But eternal life, the Lord has given me. I will have eternal life with my Father. So after hearing this, so what the Sanhedrin did, the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace. So they left rejoicing. Is it possible? After getting beaten, how you can rejoice? That's the one I was thinking last night. Is it possible? I will try to get revenge. My heart's full of hatred, but rejoice. The same Peter is writing that in his epistle. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. As though sometime something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. But rejoice. Why? You participate in the sufferings of Christ. Yes, I am in Christ. I am called to suffer for Christ. That's the rejoicing. So how they left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. Not only rejoicing they left, what they did? Look, verse 42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They never stopped rejoicing, going out and telling about Jesus Christ. As Berry Street Community Church, what is our, how do I put that? Motto: making Jesus known. Making Jesus known, nothing else. We are not here for anything else here, making Jesus known in Berry Street and beyond that area, in our nation and in the globe. Making Jesus known. So let us go boldly, making Jesus known, proclaiming and teaching the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the new life you have given to us. Lord, help us to proclaim your word faithfully and boldly, Father. Lord, help us to rejoice in the suffering. Lord, help us to obey you rather than man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.